Hello, everyone. This is Deborah Richardson, and today I am putting the AP in Happy, where accounts payable teams are empowered to protect the vendor master file from fraud. This podcast will give a voice to accounts payable team members by talking about the growing reality of cyber attacks in their world and which vendor setup and vendor management techniques they can apply to protect the vendor master file from fraud. Visit the Vendor Process Training Center to enroll in your choice of 55 plus training sessions that will help you and your team avoid fraud, compliance fines, and bad vendor data. Or just sign up to get access to vendor process FAQs and to attend weekly drop-in live Q&A sessions. Visit training.deborahrrichardson.com today. The link will be in the show notes. Afraid of the IRS penalties and interest for either no filing or late filing or corrections to your 1099s or 1042s for your reportable vendors? Well, that is nothing compared to the fines for two other organizations that can also hit your company with compliance fines. So what are they? Keep listening. Welcome to episode 241, two types of non-IRS fines in the vendor process and how to avoid. So with good reason, I tend to focus a lot on avoiding fraud in the vendor setup and maintenance and vendor payment space, but avoiding compliance fines is also part of the vendor process. Further, compliance goes beyond the rules and regulations of the Internal Revenue Service or IRS for reportable vendors. So today we're going to talk about two other organizations that can assess compliance fines that your team can totally prevent with the appropriate follow-up and validations. Now, the first one is NACHA and their notice of change. So first, let's talk about who NACHA is. I'm sure you already know, but NACHA is the governing organization of the ACH network, and the ACH network is responsible for moving money when you make ACH payments to your vendors or direct deposit payments to your employees. Now, their oversight includes a set of operating rules for all of that activity. So now, what is a notice of change? Well, when you issue ACH payments to your vendors, the vendor's bank details, which are their routing number and bank account number, are included on a pay file that eventually makes it over to your vendor's bank so they can pay your vendor or put it in your vendor's account. Now, if a vendor's bank account or your vendor's bank account number is incorrect, the payment may fail. Sometimes they will change it if the vendor is banking with the same bank. For example, if they just changed their bank account and they didn't tell you, and you sent the old bank account to the same vendor's bank, they may just change it for you. However, if just the routing number is incorrect, they may most likely update the routing number so the payment will be successful. And if that happens, to notify you of the change, your company will receive a notice of change or NOC. Now, if the vendor's bank details are not corrected in a timely manner, and more payments with the same erroneous information is sent in subsequent pay files, right, that now require continued changes, your company could be reported to NACHA's compliance department for a rules violation. And then after they review it, your company may incur a fine. Now, let's just talk about what fines can be, because if we think about it in comparison to IRS fines, the IRS fines, and I am going to leave a link to the IRS penalty chart for information returns. It's like on a per return basis, right? So unless you just neglected to file all your vendors' returns, you know, in a given year, your reportable vendors' returns, 1099s, 1042s, then you're just going to be, you're going to pay based on how long it was it took you to file them or file corrected documents. But that's on a per document basis. And that can go anywhere, I believe, from $60 to $250 per. Right. But if you're talking a NACHA violation, NACHA violations can be on a recurring basis. And it could be, I saw this one where it was like $500,000 per month until the change was made. And I, when I was a practitioner, I had, we had that happen because my folks got busy and they just were not working those notice of changes. First, they were coming from our bank on a fax, and then they were coming via email. But in any event, I saw one fine for a company that was $500,000 per month until the change or the they comply with whatever rule they violated. So you compare that to the IRS, and you really need to make sure you're working or your team is working those notice of changes. And so to avoid the fine, when you receive the NOC, check the listed transactions. They need to be researched right away. Identify the vendor or vendors on that NOC and correct their banking details. Now, I have two types of banking details and two ways to handle them. So the first one is the routing number changes. And so if it was just a routing number change, you can verify the routing number for the vendor's bank and update it in your accounting system or ERP. No need to contact the vendor. And this can happen, right, if your vendor's bank was merged or acquired, right? That changes their routing number. And the vendors don't always tell you that, especially if only the routing number changes and their bank account number doesn't change, which can happen. So you don't find that out until you get the NOC. So what I suggest is that one, you do, like I just said, and you verify the correct routing number for your vendor's bank updated in the system. And then check other vendors that have that same incorrect routing number, because if for some reason you pull those vendors in a subsequent pay file, you're going to get a notice of change for them as well. So just update all of your vendors' routing numbers or your vendor's bank's routing numbers that are no longer valid. And as a matter of fact, when I talk about doing a vendor master file cleanup, that 8-step process, part of that is validating the vendor's banks or the banks that you have in your vendor records, verifying that those routing numbers are still good, right? Because again, vendor's banks, will merge, they will get acquired, and that changes the routing numbers. The vendors don't tell you, but when you clean your vendor master file, which hopefully is monthly, quarterly, and at the very least annually, you're checking to revalidate those vendor bank routing numbers and updating those if they have changed. Now, I will say that you can send the vendor a notification of change to notify them that the vendor record was updated. And this could be an email, could be a letter to their place of business if you don't have an email address on file. But let them know that their information was updated. And this is the same thing that, you know, your accounts will do if your information is updated, right? They'll send you out, let's say Amazon, Netflix, Hulu, right? If anything changes on your account, they'll send you an email, sometimes send you an email and a letter and let you know that something has changed. And if you didn't initiate it, to either change your password or to contact them. And in this case, your vendor didn't initiate it, but at least if they contact you, you can let them know why you made that change. All right, so that's the first one is the routing numbers. Now, the next one is the bank account number. So if the bank account number changes, that's a little different. Place the vendor on payment hold to avoid additional failed payments while you reach out to the vendor. So it's going to take some time to reach out to the vendor and to follow your process, hopefully, because hopefully it has authentication techniques, internal controls, and best practices to securely and non-fraudulent, if that's a word, update your vendor's banking. So you do need to put it on payment hold so there are no failed payments and while you're getting the banking updated. And so contact the vendor and then let them know what the instructions are for updating their bank account number, include the required forms, and then when the update, when the process has been followed and the updates are made, remove the payment hold, and then you can continue, restart, making payments to your vendor. All right, so that is NACHA Notice of Change. And the second one, so the organization is the U.S. Department of Treasury, and then you need to be in compliance with the Office of Foreign Assets and Control, or OFAC, their sanctions list. Now, again, while most know about the IRS penalties and fines and are careful not to incur them, I find that some are still not as worried or not worried at all about the fines related to non-compliance with sanctions lists. But they really should be, because both civil and criminal fines can be incurred. And I will put a link to the penalty chart for OFAC's for OFAC's penalties in 2023. And it's just the civil penalties that's listed on this chart, and it's in the millions, not to mention the criminal penalties, which I didn't find a link for that, but that you could incur both civil and criminal. And civil penalties, according to this chart in 2023, are in the millions. Again, higher than what the IRS penalties are, but I still find that people are not real worried about it at all. So here are some things that you need to do to make sure that your company does not incur civil or criminal penalties for non-compliance with OFAC's, the United U.S. Department of Treasury OFAC sanctions list. So regarding these sanctions lists, U.S. entities and individuals are prohibited from paying vendors that appear on these consolidated OFAC sanctions lists. This means that you really need to check your vendors are not that your vendors are not on these sanctions lists prior to running each pay file, because after each pay file, your vendors are getting paid. So you really need to check then, check before each pay file. But I've got some suggestions for you. So avoid the fine. Verify your vendors do not appear on the OFAC sanctions list by checking their free tool or a similar resource if your company provides you another tool for checking. But I will put the link to the OFAC provided search tool, which is free, and it searches all of their sanctions list with that one click of the search. All right, so avoid the fine, and you do that, one, by searching your vendor's name. So you need to verify that you do not receive a hit or a match when searching your vendor's name. Now, if you are not sure if you have a match, I will put a link to the site's frequently asked question that talks about what steps you need to take or what your next steps are if you think you have a match. And it ends with providing a phone number to contact them if you have gone through these steps and think you do have a match. So one, search by your vendor's name. If there's no match, then you're good. If you think you have a match, click on the link in the show notes and follow those steps of that frequently asked question and see if you need to call them or not. All right, so the next way to avoid the fine is you also need to search by your vendor's foreign financial institution name. Now, I have implemented this. I've said this with clients. I've said this a lot on podcasts, other content, and I still get a little pushback from people saying that no one knew that they needed to do this, and can you substantiate it? Well, I can't, but you can always contact OFAC or U.S. Department of Treasury or your risk team and verify whether it's something that you need to do. But I will tell you that there is a CAPTA list, and that list, the technical name is List of Foreign Financial Institutions Subject to Correspondent Account or payable through account sanctions or the CAPTA list. And you need to verify that your foreign vendor or non-US vendor's foreign financial institution does not appear on that list. And so again, if you need to follow up with your internal risk team, whatever team, make sure you do that. But it does need to be on your radar. And I do believe that everyone needs to do this check. We actually, when I was a practitioner, we didn't stop at just foreign financial institutions. We actually did domestic banks, U.S. banks, but we did all of the U.S. banks that weren't part of the top 20 banks. So we made a list of all the top 20 banks. And if the vendor's bank was not on that top 20 list, then we did that check. All right. And then the last piece of this is, right, you're going to search by your vendor's name, search by your vendor's foreign financial institution name, if it is a foreign financial institution, at vendor setup. And I would also say you need to do it whenever there is an update to that vendor's record. So if you have an existing vendor change, great time to redo that again. But outside of that, you do need to revalidate it because these sanctions lists are not static. They can change. And so you need to make sure that your vendor or your vendor's foreign financial institution has not been subsequently added to a sanctions list since you onboarded them or since the last time you checked. So if you have the ability, verify each prior to the pay cycle. Now, if that is not possible, maybe you don't have another way to do it outside of that one-by-one OFAC free search tool that they provide. Maybe you've got a lot of vendors on each of your pay cycles, then I would say that do the next best thing and check again on a monthly, quarterly, and at the very least on an annual basis. Now, there are some resources, third-party provider solutions out there that can provide continuous monitoring and then notify you if there is a match. There are also some solutions out there, such as 10check.com, that will allow you to do a bulk upload of of the 10 match. And when you do that bulk upload, they also include the watch list in that as well. So if you do the IRS 10 match bulk upload on the IRS website, yes, it is free, but it doesn't do the watch list or sanctions list. 10check.com does. I really wish I had an affiliate program. I'm not a part of that, but I used it when I was a practitioner and I use it now when I work with my client files. So that is one way that you can avoid that one-by-one search tool and do a bulk upload. But like I said, there are other third-party providers out there that can provide continuous monitoring and background. And if there's ever a match, then they can let you know. All right, so those are the two different organizations that can also charge your company with compliance fines outside of the IRS, right? So NACHA was the first one with their notice of change. If you ignore that, you could be getting some compliance fines. And then the next one is OFAC sanctions list with the U.S. Department of Treasury. All right. So thanks, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the 241st episode of the Putting the AP in Happy podcast, where accounts payable teams are empowered to protect the vendor master file from fraud. Don't forget to check the show notes for the links mentioned in the podcast. And if you enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing and writing a review of my podcast on the platform that you use to listen. Stay happy.